Well, this week, Steve, the doggies dramas seem to have deepened. We'll go into the Toya no try or try debacle from the NRL, and the Storm are back. What else have we got, mate?
Mate, we talk about the absolute try fest that we've just lived through, highlighted by Marzu's five. We speak about Hawks' upset of the week. We see how that went from last week, last week's so predictions. And we've got a new entrant in the Jacob Gagan power rankings.
I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport, as I see it, is to see your vision become a reality. Find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body. Stephen, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks, Hawk. It was one hell of a weekend of rugby league. Some ups and downs and some pretty spectacular performances. Obviously, your upset of the week, the Sharks, were outstanding.
Oh, mate.
You couldn't tip a kid out of a cart. You have all sorts of dramas.
What it does is it highlights that if you can't hang on to possession, because they just kept giving away penalties, they kept dropping the ball, and they're down 20... They've been down 24-0 before they've even really had the ball. And yeah, and the stats are it's crazy. And then contrast that in what a first half of football yesterday. Perfection from both sides. Yeah. Perfect completions and just a great game of footy.
Yeah, we certainly may have got the upset of the round wrong, but we were smack bang on the mark for the game of the round. That first half, that 40-minute performance was 100% completion from both teams, and they were certainly doing plenty with the ball. So that was, yeah, for mine, probably the 40 minutes of the year so far. Just two teams going
easily,
at it, two big goals at that. So,
yeah. No, I had my game of the round was... It was another failure from me, the Bronx-Manly game, which was a blowout. But again, the Bronx, same deal. Yep. They had a 55% completion rate for the game.
Yeah, unacceptable, mate, at any level. It doesn't matter whether it's the under-10s down at the local park. You can't do that. So, you know, it's shown a few teams have held onto the football, and that just gives the referee the reasons to give penalties and sick agains, and you're going down and score points. So... Yeah, possession is absolutely vital right now, and we got plenty of examples of that on the weekend, mate.
Oh, absolutely, and it shows that when you have possession and you can scramble, like South did, because they had heaps of missed tackles, then you still win the game. It's really, really fascinating that how it's all changed. It was an absolute try-scoring bonanza. I always struggle Mondays, mate.
Yeah.
Try-scoring bonanza. Greg Marju, 5.
Yep. Yeah.
AJ had 3. Sarko had 24 points on that was Thursday night, was it?
Thursday
God, it's a long
night.
Way back.
Yeah.
Someone else got a bag. Who was that?
Yeah, a handful got 2 for. I know Toya Tedesco, they both got 2 as well. Addo Carr, the list goes on. So obviously, Marju, 5 tries is pretty impressive. Against the feeble Dragons or not, it's pretty impressive to score 5 tries. So, as you said before we hopped on, mate, poor old Alex Johnson's busted his ass to get the try scoring record. And if this goes on forever or much longer, who knows?
It'll last a year. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, the only thing is, he's got a few more years of football in him, so he'll probably enjoy the ride, and then they'll change the rules back, and he'll suddenly have this record that no one will get near.
Yeah, quite possibly, mate. But, yeah, look, I can't see it changing either. Obviously, we're going to lose some players soon to Origin, and there's going to be more of these injuries. But the way the game's going at the moment, I think that the better teams are going to start to break away a little bit, and there's going to be plenty of tries on offer. So, look out for the points to become tumbling in.
Absolutely. Like you've got in the notes there, mate, the teams winning right now are winning the ruck. Fast play the balls, dominant kick chase, getting those sets started well. Yeah, and if you're not organised, it can all go pear-shaped, except probably the one exception that I saw over the weekend was Parra did not win the ruck against the Cowboys and just kept finding a way to hanging in there, but also the Cowboys did everything they could to lose that match. It's probably the other thing of note is Tom Dearden playing on through injury when he now needs surgery. Mate, he's one tough bugger, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. I know we'll get to that game later on, but that was a pivotal moment, obviously. I thought the way the referee was asking him whether he was going off or not, I think that directly resulted in the decision on that tackle. I thought for mine, I thought both of them lost their legs. I don't know how you saw it being a para fan, but I thought there should have been something come of that, whether he went off the field or not. I'm not too big on the injury, you know, being a direct impact on the decision. So for mine, there should have been something done about that, but I couldn't agree with you more. He's just a really tough footballer. He's one of those guys that you want to play with. You know, you see him before the game in the dressing room, it just gives you that little bit of confidence. But it's going to be a huge blow for the Cowboys. It's going to be a big blow for the Maroons. There's already been talk up here about some potential replacements and just how big an impact that'll be, especially the way Origin's been going, and then the real changes this year. His running game would have been a real highlight for the Maroons. So it'll be interesting to see what both sides, the Cowboys and the Maroons, do with him being out for an expected couple of months there.
Absolutely. Oh, mate, I thought the Cowboys were dudded. Given that's the rule and that's how they're refereeing it, I'd have been filthy if that was my team. Because what you've got to wait to see if he goes off before you're going to blow it. We didn't even get penalised. Like, how can that even be? I don't agree with it. I think, what are they supposed to do to bring a guy down on the line? I was listening to Nathan Hindmarsh and Wade Graham talk about it on Saturday, and they said, like, what are you supposed to do there? Like, if you're trying to get a guy down as he's about to cross the line, you've just got to put your weight. And he said people have been doing that for 100 years. But given that's how they refereed it, I think that's crazy. The fact that he had to ask and then they don't even get a penalty, mate, if I'm a Cowboys fan, I'm throwing the remote at the TV at that point for sure. Because they should have played the last 10 minutes with an extra man and they would have just blown us out of the water.
Yeah, no, couldn't agree with you more, mate. That was, to me, a bit of a miss by the officials again, unfortunately. But look, as far as Dearden goes, that's going to be a monster. I thought he'd been really strong for the Cowboys, especially after these last sort of month and a half where they've gone on a little bit of a run. So, I think that's going to be a little bit of a road bump for the Cowboys over the next 4 to 6 weeks.
Yep. All right, now to something I got right. JMK did have a huge impact for the Dolphins when he came on, and they just ripped him a new one. Wouldn't be surprised to see him start this weekend because it just allowed Plath to go to 13, and Marshall King just terrorized them. Like, he's got so much creativity out of dummy half, and suddenly, when they're on the front foot, they were just rolling over the Dogs, and the Dogs, like, looks like it's getting worse. There's still the only way they look like they're scoring points is throw it to Lockie and hopefully he can do something.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more, mate. The amount of yards that the Dolphins made were huge. I think between the two wingers, they were up over 400 metres between the two of them. Then they scored 5 tries between them as well. So similar to what we've been seeing with the Dolphins, they're happy to roll up their sleeves early in the contest, really earn the right to play some footy. And we saw that the week before against the Storm as well. So they just really dominated Canterbury through the middle third. And then once they had them buggered there, then they just started playing some footy. And Asako, again, he's been a little bit slow to adapt to these new rules for Minasako, but you can start to see him with a few other players we'll get to later in the show start to get it now, start to get that tempo. Oh, you
mean Katoa, do you mean?
Apologies. Katoa. You can start to see him now starting to really get the way the game's being played. So, for mine, it's real that traditional footy where you play a little bit tougher through the middle early, and then you let your backs dine out on it late in the game, and it's starting to become a little bit of a habit for the Dolphins. So really impressive performance, and you're right, for mine, Canterbury look like they're going backwards, and there now looks like there's a bit of uncertainty out there in the middle. You know, we saw Crichton had a go at Galvin, and it was a pretty full-on go, and obviously it's heated out there, it's the NRL, but For people that say that he's the best leader in the NRL, for him to be doing that to Galvin, very interesting. So something's not right at the Bulldogs, but hats off to the Dolphins. It was sensational.
Oh, absolutely, because Sean O'Sullivan comes in, and you think that we even talked about it, like potentially that Burton, if he wasn't there, maybe O'Sullivan's the answer, or putting Burton out of the centre as well. Apparently Burton was sick. O'Sullivan goes in. It did look like it did straighten up the attack at times, but the problem's not there because they're not making metres. They're getting torn apart up the middle, and when they do get possession, we talk about it every week. They're just not offering anything. So, yeah, like you said, there is something seriously wrong. I read a stat today saying they've made 20 changes in the halves since round 18 last year when Galvin got there. Now, there's plenty of people, the Galvin haters, who are going to point the finger at him, but I keep coming back to the same place. I just wonder what his season would have looked like if he'd gone to Parra and played outside Moses, because you can see he is improving as a footballer all the time. He's got a huge motor. He's getting better defensively. His instincts are so good, but he's just in a system that is lost.
Yeah, no, I agree, mate. I mean, you look at where Canterbury scored their points. The penalty count was 6-0 when by the time Canterbury had scored both their tries. After that, the referee evened it up and Canterbury just didn't look like scoring again. So, it's a big thing for them. And then to let the amount of points in, you hit the nail on the head, and I didn't really check the stats out with Canterbury's defence. That was their strong suit last couple of years. Well, they've leaked 240 points already this season after only 9 games. So, the thing that they've based their game off has also gone walkabout. So, this story certainly isn't finished, mate. I know you wrote an excellent article online about the impact Gus is having on, tinkering. Well, truth be told, I think there needs to be more than tinkering right now. I think they've backed themselves into a corner where there needs to be some changes done, and that'll have a huge impact on, the players that are still there as well.
You just can't see the solution at the moment either. I know they identified they need an organising half because at one point they were talking to Ben Hunt. Probably 2 years ago they went pretty hard for Moses. So they know the answer. Yeah. And I just think they've like square peg round hole at the moment, so it will be interesting. Yep. Maybe now they're going all chips in on Wood, and hopefully he can do what a lot of the new young halfbacks have done and actually have an impact. And we'll get to those guys soon. But the problem is he's just got injured again, so he's nowhere near getting the start in first grade anyway.
No. Well, who would have thought that Toby Sexton may have been the answer? and here we are. Yeah. 6-8 months down the track, and it's gone pear-shaped since he's been out the door. Obviously, they had a few others go as well, but they haven't looked the same since Sexton was moved on, really, have they?
No, they have not. Maybe we talked about getting a fan in. Maybe we start with the Dogs. It's probably good timing, so maybe I need to get that out there this week and see if we can get one here for Wednesday. Okay, let's get into the next game. Roosters-Titans. I'm with Josh Hannay here. Yes, the game wasn't close, but moments change games. Like that try, they were in the fight at that point. Yep. The Toya try is awarded, and no person thinks that was a try except G. And it's... Yep. It keeps coming back to that same thing. Like it lends itself to this suspicion of corruption. Now we're certainly not saying that's the case. But where does he get that? Where does he get that from? Like it's
It wasn't even close to a try, mate. And to your point, the Dolphins were up 6-0 at the time.
The Titans, and then
on the back of that, they've scored two other tries in the next 15 minutes. So that was a huge. That was a huge decision to go the wrong way. And to your point, there isn't anyone who could possibly think that was a try. So it's really disappointing.
Tino was very polite, and he's going, "I'm watching it. Like, yeah. I don't think he gets it down. He was being very polite, but what, I'm sure that's not what he really wanted to say. So that said, Titans certainly hung in there for that first 30 minutes, but then the Roosters just went to work and still not at their peak, but they when they get on a roll, they are scoring points at will.
Yeah, spot on, mate. And to your point, the score line probably flatters the Roosters a little bit. I thought the Titans hung in there well. At no real stage, even early in the game, did I think the Roosters were in danger. But, you know, the Titans fought hard. And if you thought before the game that it was going to be 28-12 with a couple of contentious decisions heading the Roosters' way, I think Henne would have been pretty happy. Obviously, he's... you know, a proud coach. He wants them to continue to get better and get those wins. But at the end of the day, the Roosters were just that little bit more experienced, a little bit more polished. You know, there you talk about the Dolphins back three. The Roosters back five were just, you know, a huge workload. Tedesco's in, I wouldn't say career best form because he's had one hell of a career, but he's just playing as good as footy as he ever have. And Tupu just keeps going. Age hasn't really affected him at the moment. So they've been really impressive. So for the Titans to do that and keep them that close down in Sydney, albeit Gosford, it's a pretty impressive performance from the Titans in a loss for mine, mate.
Yeah, I agree. New age NRL, I reckon, brings Daniel Tupu back in the mix for the Origin team too, because he's making big metres. He's still a big body. He creates a threat in the air at both ends. There's going to be plenty of competition for that second wing spot, assuming that Brian Toto's fit, because he'll be a lock. Tupou can't do too much more than what he's been doing. They'll still think they'll go with Edwards, but geez, you can't go wrong with Teddy. He's made 350 run meters. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's out of this world, mate. Yeah, I think you're right. I think they'll go with Edwards, but if anything happens to him, there'll be no hesitation whatsoever in putting Tedesco out there, and he certainly won't let him down. He's in, an absolute purple patch at the moment.
Absolutely. Now, last week I said I couldn't mount a case for an Eels upset. In my heart, I think I just wanted to find something, but I still sort of went in there with a bit of sneaky suspicion that we'd go, well, we've got a good record up there. One of our best wins in many years for so many reasons. We're injury depleted, as we know. You only got to look at what happened to the Tigers this week to show that when you've got a lot of good footballers out, what an impact that can have. Just keep hanging in there. We're not got a problem scoring points. There were times where we were absolutely just hanging on as the Cowboys just went through us at will. Like, we seemed to battle getting out of our own half, and then the Cowboys would make 70, 80 metres, and yet just hung in. The interesting, probably the difference is, and it's something I've been saying for weeks, is they just got a complete high, and they did. I think they had 21 from 23 at half time, and then went on to a pretty good completion rate in the second half. And I think it just shows that even when you're injury depleted, the same things apply. Even more so is you've got to get that completion rate high, but you've also got to get speed, ruck speed, and when you get down the other end, you've got to take full advantage, and they absolutely did that.
Yeah, I agree, mate. The big thing for that for this game for me is exactly what you just said. The Eels just hung in. You know, I thought, truth be told, the Cowboys were probably the better side.
Definitely.
But the Eels just kept finding a way. Obviously, that interceptor at Okar was a huge, huge momentum swing for them, and that was massive, right? Especially when they need it, they're under the pump there a little bit. But you've got to give it to Parramatta. They just kept coming back and hanging in, just finding a way to get that next try or to stay in the hunt. And, you know, we've spoken about the Dearden injury and how he continued to play on. I thought Para sort of had some excess targeting. I think if it had been one of the better attacking sides, I think if it had been a Cleary going up against him. I think they would have cut the Cowboys to pieces there at the end of the game. But at the end of the day, Parra did enough to hang in, and then when it counted, they got the chocolates, mate. So pretty good win for them up there. They've been going pretty tough, the old Eels. But to go up to Townsville and get the wins, a pretty big deal, mate. So they'll be really happy with that.
Yeah, and we got a interesting draw coming up. We've got the Storm, who are now back in form. So, of course, that's going to be a challenge now. I thought we did well targeting that side. Ronald Waltman is one of the most improved footballers in the comp at the moment. He had some luck there. He did think at one point where he actually went through the hole where Dearden was, where he just had to give it to Addo Carr, and he probably scores under the post untouched. But for some reason didn't. Maybe he was thinking about the risk of how close it was to the touchline, but not long after that, we kick a field goal to win it. So,
I thought he was your best mate, Volkman. I know that's a big call, but he's just one of those players, similar we spoke about Galvin before. He's just got that spark in attack. He can just find that outside shoulder, that half break, and he's quick enough to take it. So, I like him better than what Pezzett's been offering you in the halves. So I think he's got something a little bit about him. I think the more he plays, he obviously had an extended period out of the game. So I think the more he plays, the better he'll get as well. So I think he adds a little bit something to you guys. So I like the way he's been playing, mate.
Agree. And he's definitely defending better than Pezzett was at the start of the year. And the other interesting thing is, despite the fact that Moses set up the try that equaled the scores and kicked the field goal, he was clunky, passing behind people, making mistakes. Like, this, again, we talk about things not being right. There's something not quite right there. There was a story floating around that he had a toe injury before in the preseason. There's got to be something hampering him, because he just looks like he's not at his sharpest. And but again, it shows the class of the best players in the comp, where they can still have their moments even when they're not going well. And we'll get to Cameron Munster, but he seems to be another one who's just finding something, despite the fact that he's had a pretty poor start to the year. It'll be interesting to see how the Cowboys bounce back after with no Dearden. But if you think about it, it might bring Padu closer to the action, and then maybe they put him to six and maybe it's even more creative there. Who knows?
Yeah, you're spot on. They're going to have to come up with something, because Dearden just offers them so much. He's, that running game alone, let alone that composure that he gives them through that side of the park. So whether it's Padu, he's probably going to be their option. But it'll be interesting to see what they do. And then, to your point, how they go on with it with Magic Round this coming week. It's a monster for them to be able to try to get up. It'll be a full house for them. Against the Roosters, it doesn't get much tougher at the moment. So, let's see how they go next week, mate.
Absolutely. Knights Dragons, mate. What did you see anything that to give you some hope with the Drags?
Oh, look, not short-term, but certainly long-term. I really like what they did with that young pack of forwards. So I think by looks what Young's done, we've seen it 2 weeks in a row now, he's really backed the young guys. And I think they more than held their own, truth be told. The Couchmans have done it since the beginning of the season, and they're starting to get a little bit of help as well. So I certainly like the green shoots coming from the pack. When you add, Kalau Matangi in there and get them another, 15-odd first-grade games experience across them all this season, I think there's some good opportunities and good signs for next year. Quite simply, our backs were just not acceptable in defence. What we dished up out wide and on the edges was just not NRL standard. It's as simple as that. So, we've spoken about it week in, week out, what the young forwards can do at St George, and I think we're going to be pretty close to being right there. I really hope they can keep them together long enough to start to see it. But right now, our backs, our two most experienced and probably two of our highest paid players, Val and Gutho, they've got plenty of stick in the media. And unfortunately, rightfully so, they just aren't playing well enough.
No, I did see a meme, and it was Clint Gutherson in the second half, and it was a St George turnstile.
it's just not happening, right? So they've got to do something there. Whether they can offload one or both of them for next year, I don't know whether the English Super League's an opportunity or whether I can't see any of the other clubs wanting them at the moment. Especially, I mean, Vel, I would have thought had more years in him, but he's just not playing very well at all. And Gutho, unfortunately, just looks a little bit too slow now. So I think they need to do something there for St George. But certainly their forwards gave me a bit to be hopeful about, mate. But hats off to Newcastle, fully fit. They are one awesome side, very slick, that back line. We called it a few weeks ago. They've just compiled that side really impressively, and Holbrook's really opened them up. They've let them go. He's given them the license to have a bit of fun, and fully fit. They're going to cause a few headaches coming in, mate. Obviously, Ponga will go to Origin, maybe a Bradman Best, but they're not going to lose heaps. So they're going to be a fairly competitive side through the next few months for mine if they can stay fit on the park.
They absolutely. There's a fluency too. Like, it just looks crisp. Like, Kalen's always been one of those players that could just find holes and just seems to like. I was talking to a mate who's a Knights fan on the weekend, and where we got to is he's probably the closest to Brett Kenny in terms of that ability just to swerve in and out of gaps and create something out of nothing, and. Dylan Brown coming in and letting KP almost run the show, it's working for him as well. And then, like you said, the back line's got speed to burn. And when the Dragons' backs were struggling, it was only going to go one way. And we talked about Greg Marju. He's hard to handle at the best of times. He's a big, big body. He's run over well over 200 metres as well. Line breaks all over the place. They were a bit too good.
Yeah, they were, mate, and nothing to take nothing away from the Knights. They're going to cause a few headaches. They've got the Titans this weekend that we'll speak about later in the week on our preview podcast. But I can see them racking up a few big scores on the way in with that back line. So see how they go, and the Dragons just got to try to learn and develop and get as much experience as they can for next season, mate. There's not much else this year than just sort of getting some games in the belt of these young forwards for mine.
Oh, and the halfback too. They got to stick with him and let him ride out the rest of the season so that starting next year he's game tough and they can start to build something, and hopefully they can pick up some quality there somewhere to go with him and some of those their young backs that I've got. I was speaking to a guy who works in the Dragons system, which, without going into details, he was saying there are some good kids, not just footballers, but just good kids that are going to be really good for the culture of the place too. So that's heartening for you guys.
Yeah, definitely, mate. Obviously, Drinkwater is going to be a huge marquee man for them next year. Hopefully we can pick up one or two outside backs, but I think they're going to have to move on Gutho and Val to be able to free up some cap space. But see how we go. If they can get a couple of wins this season, it'd be nice, but I can't see them getting too many more, mate.
Yep. Kaloa Matangi going there. A couple more signings. There's plenty to give you hope that you're going to be heading in a better direction next year. And we've got the Bears coming in, so you're not going to finish behind them.
Yeah, exactly. The market for the Bears are already $1.10 for the wooden spoon next year.
Yeah,
I thought they haven't seen what team Dragons are going to put on the park yet, but it doesn't look too impressive. I only read this morning that Mal Meninga still lives in Canberra, so I'm not quite sure how that's working. It doesn't look real crash hot when he's trying to recruit players to live in Perth, but anyway, it is what it is. The Bears are going to face an uphill battle. There's no question there.
Yeah, I saw Mal talking over the weekend saying how I turned your phone to silent, mate. That's me, by the way. Saying how they've got a pretty small budget at the moment and people saying they're not doing this, not doing that. And he's like, well, we're doing the best we can with the resources we got. So, again, it's just another example of what the NRL hasn't done to help set this team up to win. And let's hope it's not as big a disaster as it's looking at the moment, because we need it to work over there. Otherwise, what was the point in going? And for me, I've got a lot of mates who are Bears fans who either have stopped following the game or, you know, are kind of, you know, they watch it, but they're really missing having their team. You want them to have something to get excited about. We want to see, when they come to Sydney, plenty of Bears fans out there for those away games. And, we hopefully something's going to change in the next few months, because they're fast running out of time.
Yep. No, I couldn't agree more, bud.
All right. The Sharks. I think I've said this before, but I'm just not tipping them again. Like, just when I think they're coming good and, I said upset of the weekend, they just... Even Fitzy was blown up, going, I don't know how much longer I can wait for consistency, because they just, it's like watching two different teams, split personality. So when you tip someone a team and they give you that, it's so infuriating. I can't imagine what the Sharks fans are feeling right now.
Yeah, spot on, mate. It's, you know, we've taken the Sharks over the last probably 2 or 3 years, and, you know, we've called them flat track bullies. They get someone at Shark Park there, run downhill on a Sunday arvo and rack up a score. They've done that again a few times this year already. But when someone shows a little bit of fight against them, a little bit of steel, they just capitulate. And that's exactly what happened here. You know, South weren't expected to win. Obviously, Luttrell, who's been the form player in the NRL or close to it, was out. I didn't certainly expect South to win this one, but they rocked up and played some really good footy. They controlled, you know, again, similar to what the Dolphins did. They controlled that first half of the game really strongly, really worked hard, which is not something, you know, with respect to South, not something that they traditionally do that first 20 minutes real well, but they've done it there, and then all of a sudden they just started playing some footy after they earned the right. And, you know, the last the 12 points from the Sharks come in the last 8 minutes of the game as well, so when it was more than over and done with. So really impressive by South. Not one that they're expected to win. That's a very, very valuable two competition points against Cronulla, who they look like they're in a bit of trouble, Cronulla, truth be told. There's not a lot of spark there unless, as we said, they're playing against one of those lesser teams and they're going to rack up a score and get on a roll.
The problem is that the fatigue set in because they just kept giving away penalties. A lot of them were for tackles, which that can happen, but there was just so many of them. There were like five, I think, maybe even more penalties in that first half. I haven't got the exact halftime stats, but the possession was so far in favour of the Bunnies, and a better team may have even been further ahead given the weight of possession they had. Yeah, really sloppy. I was listening the other day to someone, I can't recall exactly where it was, but they were saying that there's Adam Fanua Blake's not really in the frame for Origin. Well, you know, I don't know about you, but I got a bit excited when, you know, they change the rules and you start thinking about those sort of guys. But you would expect he would have been perfect for these new conditions, but it's just not happening in the Sharks.
No, it's not. There's something not right with them, and they've got to figure out what it is pretty quickly. You know, they're 10th on the ladder, 4 wins, 5 losses. And that feels about right. You know, some weeks they get off the bus and they look sharp, they look good, they look up. And then other weeks you come out and there's error after error after error. So there needs to be some consistency and a little bit more of a backbone, a little bit more cement in the side. Or the better teams are just going to put up a fight and roll through them, mate. So, the Sharks are a little bit of a watch out over these next few weeks because, to your point, they're not going to lose many to Origin, potentially Brayley, but that's a pretty hot spot at the moment, the Blues 9. So they're not going to lose too many. Nicker is eligible for the Maroons, but outside of that, they're probably just about done. So if they don't win some through Origin against some weaker sides, I can't see them rallying for the 8, mate.
Yep. The way Robson's going at the Roosters, he's almost like a lock to retain his spot. Just a bit of perspective, like that's the same amount of wins as Para. Now, if you look at the two teams and who you think's had a better start and who's got more upside, you'd just think that's just that the Sharks are so underachieving at the moment given what they've got. The other thing is that they still haven't re-signed a large chunk of that team for next year, that may be playing on their mind, and it will be really interesting to see what unfolds there, because it'd be a massive amount of uncertainty for the coach too, because he may be thinking, well, we might have to have a massive clear out. It could be start again for them the way it's heading.
Yeah, well, as we just spoke about the Bears, it's not like you can go out and sign, even five or six top line first graders out of nowhere. So, you know, clubs are tying up their talent very quickly, knowing full well that Perth and PNG are around the corner. So if they want to clear out, they need to do it real bloody quick. But yeah, for mine, I think that's been half his problem. He's backed these players to do it for him, and we're 3 or 4 years in, and it's virtually the same identical team, and they just haven't been able to do it. So for mine, I think this is how the Sharks is going to end, that 50% win rate, and they may get an eighth spot towards the end of the season. But this origin period is going to be key for them, on the back of them not probably losing too many players. If they don't win, the vast majority of them, I think that's all over for the Sharks this year.
Yep, I agree. Interesting, Cam McInnes was rumoured to be the next signing for the Bears, so there's another one that they may have lost, as well as Talakai. So it'll be interesting to see how many more they let go. Just while we're on potential signings, I don't know if you saw if Harris DeVita has said he's only available to sign a one-year deal, so he's obviously very much lining himself up to be, if not already talking to the Chiefs informally, of course, not allowed to break those rules, but he's putting himself in the shop window, and I think he'd be a great signing for them, because he was the one who took a year off footy, wasn't he, a couple of years ago, just to go and see the world. So he obviously loves adventure, and it'd be a perfect scenario for someone like him. So that'd be a good signing. Imagine him and Luai in the halves. That's a good base for the spine to start getting going.
Yeah, couldn't agree more, mate. I'm not sure New Zealand-born players get that tax exemption. I think it's Australian passport holders. So I'm not sure where he sits in that, but he, that's certainly not going to bother some players. They're going to be keen, just to your point, live the experience and try and play with Jerome Luai. It'll be a big thing for them. Obviously, Tanner Boyd's just re-signed for an extended period over there. And Metcalf's, having crisis meetings, so we're led to believe. So there's a bit going on over the Warriors in the halves over that bye week that we've just had. So it'll be interesting to see this Teamless Tuesday will drop tomorrow, and we'll do our recording. But I'll have some pretty big eyes on the Warriors this week.
Yeah, absolutely. My game of the round, Seagulls Broncos. Well, again, there's just 55% completion for the Broncos. That's just unbelievable. Madge would have been giving them an absolute roasting, no doubt, once they got back to training on Monday or Tuesday. But again, it just shows just how good this Manly team is. And I was thinking about, you picked Manly for the spoon based on the fact that you thought Seibold would probably hang on to his job for a fair while. It shows that the problem for Seibold is certainly not in recruitment and in the administrative side. And he was talking about, maybe only having two more years and then moving into the front office. And to me, it's a good advertisement to say that, well, he is good at that part of things, because they seem to be heading in the right direction. They got some good young kids coming through. They've now got depth, all the things that we were saying that they didn't have. But they've got young guys that have stepped in and done a job, and a great advertisement for Kieran Foran to get the top job. I saw Jake Trbojevic come out this week saying, it's not a one-off. There's five great examples now, and they just seem to be getting better.
Yeah, no, agreed, mate. Look, one of the knocks on Seibold was he makes it too complicated for him. And there's no doubt Foran's just simplified the game for them. There's some forwards there that are playing, some of the best footy that they've played in a long time. Just simple footy, effort-based. You even see Luke Brooks. The last couple of weeks he's played has been really impressive. To your point, Joey Walsh has been a pretty good hit from the get-go, and then they've still got Fogarty as well. So to try and fit them through will be interesting, and certainly not the problems they thought they'd have. I think, you know, look, we're probably being a bit harsh on the Broncos. While they didn't play well, I think they've just run out a little bit of fuel. You know, they've been missing some big players now for a few weeks and probably batted above their average for the last month of footy. And those valuable points will certainly help come back into the year. But I think it was just one too many for them. And bloody the Manly, they just keep coming. So really impressive for them to see how, you know, this to Trbojevic's point, this isn't a one-off. They've done really well. So they get a weakened Tigers in Magic Round. You know, it should be a pretty quick Suncorp field. Those electric backs, they could give the Tigers a bit of trouble, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a very Brisbane-like performance from Manly, can I say. Mm. They were just dominant up the middle and then speed to burn out wide. It's kind of been the formula for the Bronx for a couple of years now. So the Storm just do what they're capable of, or they have been capable of for a long time. I know we haven't seen it for 7 weeks, but just blowing a team out of the water in the first 15 minutes, and didn't they what? The game was pretty much over after the first 20.
Yeah, it was, mate. They scored a couple of late tries, the Tigers, and gave them a little bit of a sniff, but the damage was already done for mine. They come out of the... they come out of the sheds and scored four tries in the first 12 minutes, and that was, you thought, oh, here we go. You know, they're back. And truth be told, I thought, oh, here we go, the Tigers are back. With the way they were defending, it didn't look tremendous. But sort of, you know, the Tigers leveled out a little bit and kept fighting. So, you know, you're a Tigers fan, you're happy that they kept fighting. With the amount of injuries, obviously losing May, you know, morning of the kickoff.
Before kickoff.
Obviously a good reason, but losing him really, really hurt on the top of, you know, already having Dewey and Appy Buller. So it was a really decimated Tigers outfit, but they kept fighting till the very end. But well done to the Storm. You sort of, I know you're not a fan, mate, but you sort of feel a bit relieved for Bellamy and the boys that they've able to get a win, because it was it's tough going 7 weeks and everything they've dealt with off the park. It was impressive to see them get up and jag a win, mate.
It was. Let's hope they bounce back to their poor form next week, because they've got Para at Magic Round, and traditionally they've smashed us up there, so fingers crossed they're crap. I thought the Tigers were going to come back into it, and actually they got within two scores of the Storm before Munster went over, and then it was pretty much all over after that. That deflated them. They didn't go away, and Marshall will be happy about that. But just outclassed in the end. As we mentioned, the game of the round, perfect completion at halftime. As you said when we were talking before, that didn't mean that they just tucked the ball under the arm and just went up straight up the middle. There was still plenty going on. They still threw the ball around, and that was like a contest like that we want to see, probably still fairly high scoring, but it was just two really good teams in form going head to head.
Yeah, spot on, mate. I thought the Raiders were really, really strong early, but ultimately Penrith just turned the dial and just you know, put the foot on the throat and kept pressing, and the Raiders, not let many other teams can go with them either, but the Raiders just couldn't continue to go with them. So there's certainly some bright sparks for the Raiders. I thought that was probably one of their best performances of the season. They really stuck it to Penrith, and they were going try for try there. But look, hats off. Cleary was really, really on his game. He controlled the game from the get-go. His kicks, and he's just always there on the ball. So I really like that. And Yeo was one of his best. You know, we saw throughout a number of the games, you know, the Origin players are starting to know that it's getting close. And a number of them stood up, and Cleary and Yeo for mine were really impressive in the game. I thought they... you know, I hope they've started to realise it for Origin football, but they're just starting to run and play. You know, there's not as much depth in the Panthers' attack as there has been in previous years, because I think they have cottoned onto the new game quicker than most. They're playing running flat footy, and it looks pretty impressive, mate. So they're going to be they're going to go all the way and be very, very hard to beat. But if I'm Ricky Stewart, I'm pretty happy with a few things that I saw, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Critical of Sanders a few weeks back, and he seems to have toughened up again in defence, and he's doing good things again with the ball. But Cleary was just in another class. And you raise a good point about Origin. This could be the year that he finally unlocks that arena and blows them away, because it'll be less of that structured, tight defence, and there'll be plenty more opportunities for him to run the ball and create. So, yeah, it's a really good point. Blaise Talangi, though, on the other hand, got beaten defensively a few times, and there's something that'll need to be tidied up there. Maybe he was just a bit flat, I don't know, but the Raiders exploited that edge a couple of times. So he'll need to get better if they're serious about competing for this title.
Yeah, he will, mate. Look, they're very strong on the edges, Canberra. Obviously, Ethan Strange, he was very, very impressive with the ball in his hand. He's got a really strong carry, and I think he's close. I'm not saying he'll get picked this year. Well, he may get picked in that extended bench, but he's not far off Origin. He's super impressive with the ball, and obviously Hudson Young as well, right? So they've got some pretty powerful edges.
There was one point where Strange made a run through the heart of the defence, and he's just shrugging bigger bodies out of the way just with brute force. And I had a big smile on my face going, oh, how good is this kid? Like, he is just an absolute beast. So, yeah, wouldn't be surprised if he gets picked in the six or even on the bench, because he's got Origin written all over him. Put it this way, if he was a Queenslander, he'd be getting picked guaranteed.
Yeah, 100%, mate. Obviously, Simi Sasangi, I haven't come across how many weeks they're thinking for him, but he's been a big loss. He's probably been their best player, moved into the back row from the centres two or three weeks ago. So he'll be a big loss. But, look, they're really strong on the centres. So I think Blaise Talangi's been one of the better players for the Penrith. I think he keeps getting better and better with him. So they'll just chalk that up to a tough week out, mate.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. All right, mate, talk us through the power rankings for this week.
So Gagan's made the one change. He's dropped the Tigers out. So on their second loss, and both of them being by a fairly decent score. So Penrith, Warriors and the Roosters are still 1-2-3. Manly jump up into fourth spot, and Souths are the new addition to Jacob Gagan's power ranking. So I can't really complain or argue with any of them, mate. I think the Cowboys would have been close to his thinking, but couldn't get the chocolates against Para. And I know after speaking to him today that he was very impressed with both the Knights and the Dolphins' performance. So I think he's pretty rock solid with those five. I think there could be a couple of changes if we do get a few more wins by a few of these other teams.
Absolutely, and I can see Manly continuing to climb that list higher and higher if the other two teams above them don't keep winning. The Warriors will have a depleted Broncos. That should be a pretty good game at Magic Round. We'll go dive deeper into this in the preview show on Wednesday. And the Roosters have Cowboys without Dearden, so you expect them to win that one too. But again, if Manly can just keep on winning, it's going to be hard to leave them out of that top three for much longer.
Yeah, no, I agree, mate. I'm with him, but to your point, can't wait to get to Wednesday to have a chat to you about Magic Round games, because they're an absolute crackers. I think there's some really important games too leading into Origin for that top eight. So, I'm looking forward to getting stuck into that.
Absolutely. Now, are we finally getting used to this new football like the teams seem to be, and we're embracing it, or what are your thoughts? Because it's probably the most I've enjoyed the footy for the start of the year. We're just resigning ourselves to the fact that that's just how it's going to be.
Yeah, I think yes and no, mate. I think there was a little bit less involvement. It just felt like that. I haven't got any stats for you. But I like the Panthers, Raiders, Dolphins, Storm, South, just the way they played the game. Even though it's like this now, it was a little bit more old-school footy, where really work hard to win the middle third, in that first 20 to 25 minutes, and then let's start to use the ball. So almost working with the fatigue that's being manufactured in the game to wear those edges and wear those outside men out, and then let's go play some footy. So I think if teams can really control the football early, work up the fatigue on, with the help of the ref to the opposition, then there's points on offer. So while I'm not saying I'm a fan of it, I do start to like a way a few of the clubs have started to figure it out and are starting to play that style of footy. So I'd love to continue to see some of these teams come up against each other like we saw with Penrith and Canberra, just to see how it's like when two teams go up. But you know, we're going to get monster score lines with a few of these games on the weekend because some teams just simply aren't up to those top five or six, mate.
Yeah, it does seem that the better teams are starting to realise that they need to make sure they hang onto the ball for the first 20 to 30 until the fatigue comes in, then get a bit more expansive. Oh, just occurred to me that someone that we were pretty critical of at the start of the year has suddenly, it's almost like he's turned back the clock. Jack DeBellin has been consistently one of the better forwards for Parra the last few weeks, and it's been an amazing transformation because he just looked like it was time to waltz off into the sunset, but suddenly he's looking like a sprightly young man again. So the players are starting to adapt too. I think that's been real noticeable.
Yeah, 100% agree, mate. There's a few that are taking longer than others, a few that got out from round one and a few that still haven't figured it out, right? But there's no doubt there's certain teams and clubs that are starting to get their head around it, and they'll capitalise on that. Obviously, Origin teams get named on Sunday or get picked on Sunday after Magic Round named on Monday. So that's going to be a huge impact on what 17 teams can put out in the park. So I don't know how the quality will go and the score lines will go for the next couple of months, but I certainly think by the end of the year when everyone gets going again, we're going to see some arm wrestles early, some real traditional old school footy, hold the ball, and then some fireworks late in the game, I think. That should be the recipe for the back end of the year.
I think you're right. I reckon there'll be some surprises when they name those teams on Sunday as well, with the just the needing to the selectors needing to adapt to how the game's been played, and some of those guys that maybe have just been a lock and first up picks, particularly in the forward pack, there might be a few surprises in there for both teams, I reckon.
100%, mate. There'll certainly be more than a few, I think, especially if they're picking, 19, 20. I think that'll give them the opportunity to pick a few young fellas to give them some experience, but also a few of those players that can tick off two or three positions. So, I'm not to skip over Magic Round, but I do love Origin time of the year, mate.
We all do. Gives some of those teams that maybe that are battling a bit of an opportunity to beat some of those better teams. So fingers crossed for you that the Dragons can break the drought, because they're fast approaching the all-time record, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think they'll get the all-time record, but we'll wait and see how it plays out.
Exactly. Mate, anything's possible in this game. All right, Steve, that is a wrap for last weekend. We'll talk again on Wednesday, and let's see if we can find a Bulldogs fan to come and share their thoughts on where they're at for Wednesday as well.
Yeah, can't wait to talk Magic Round, buddy. Have a good day.
You too, mate. See ya. You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.